Welcome to the Faith Amplified Podcast, hosted by Stacey Kamik.
Ready? Let's get into it.
When I was 12 years old, I ran away from home twice. And there are various reasons why I did that, but the main reason was because of some issues going on with my dad and stuff like that. And I spoke about that more in depth in episode 46. So if you want to hear about that, it's 46, the love of God and how do I know that God loves me? So I really went a little bit more deeper into that there. But I was really thinking about that when I was talking about the truth of God's love in last week's episode. And I felt like after I spoke about that, it really made me think of my past and all the messed up things that I did. Because really, from the time I was 12 to about in my early 20s, I was just all over the place, just going every which way. You know, even though I was in church, a Christian and all of that stuff, I just didn't really have a good, solid foundation because a lot of my understanding of God was based off of what other people said, right? I didn't really, although I did read the Bible, I didn't understand or comprehend how it affected my life or how could I incorporate those lessons, everything that God was saying into my life as a young person. I didn't know how to live that out. So I was just going all over the place, just doing what I thought, you know, was good. And it wasn't necessarily me being rebellious, like I purposely wanted to hurt people or do things. It's just I didn't know what to do. I didn't have any direction as a younger person. So I was thinking about that and I was like, man, after doing all of those things, God still loved me. God still cared for me. He still called for me. He still searched for me through various means, one of which was having certain people check on me or call me and say, hey, I'm still thinking about you. I still love you. What's going on? You know, are you okay? All of those things really mattered. So in addition to episode 52, the truth about God, I wanted to add another truth, and that is nothing can separate us from God's love, no matter what we do. Because I'm telling you, for me, I've done a lot of things, and God still came after me, even when I knew I did not deserve that. And if it was me, if I was God, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't come after me. I would have abandoned me. But God, because he doesn't think the way we think, he thinks much higher. His ways are not our ways. And he doesn't throw us away. He doesn't throw us away when we mess up. And actually, he takes the time to work on us, to bring us back to where we are in a right standing with him and where we are healed and we can move on and we can grow as opposed to being stagnant. And all of that is because the truth, another truth about God, is that his love is genuine and it's real and it's perfect and it is pure. It is pure. There's no stipulation to it. And nothing can separate us from God's love. Let's get into it. So I'm going to start with 1 John 4:8 is where I quoted that scripture from. This whole episode is going to be based on 1 John 4:8. God is love. And that emphasizes his inherent loving nature. Not that I sort of kind of love or I love you when you do this, but when you do that, not so much. Not, you know, I think I love. And if you've ever been in a relationship with anyone, they'd be like, oh, you know, I think I love you. I don't know. I'm not sure. I love you, but I'm not in love with you. If you've ever heard that one, oh man, God is not like that, right? It's one type of love. Love is it. There is no level one, level two, super love, not so great love. There's none of that. It's either he loves you or he doesn't. And he said emphatically that I love you. I do. We just have an issue with understanding or comprehending the level of which he loves us, because we don't love that way. We love conditionally. And I'm sure you've heard this before, but think about it. I love, especially when it comes to romantic love, right? So I love this guy because he did this, 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 and this for me. But when he doesn't do these things, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if he loves me or he fits this criteria. But, well, you know, if he doesn't really fit, then I'm not really sure. And that's what happens with a lot of relationships. And that's why there's a lot of divorce, because when we meet the person, they fit a certain criteria. But as we grow into different stages in our lives, we may not fit a certain criteria anymore. And then all of a sudden, that love just fades. And that's what happens when that so-called love fades, because that person doesn't fit in our original criteria. That relationship kind of just ends, right? So God is not like that with us. We think that he is, because that's how we are. But look, take a look at Romans 8, 26 to 38. And this speaks about the first truth. That is, God helps us in our communication with him. He knows that sometimes, or even more times than not, we have an issue with communicating, because it's very easy to communicate with somebody when you can see them. Right. If I see my husband, I can tell him when I like something that he did or I didn't like something. I can tell my child, hey, you've done a great job, or I need you to improve here. So it's very easy, because then we can see the reaction that we're getting from them. But that's really, really difficult to replicate when you're speaking to someone who you cannot see, because God is a spirit. So God knows that, and he helps us communicate with him. So let's start with 26. How does he do that? It says, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. So the fact that we have issues with communicating with him is a weakness for us. For example, and I'm reading the New Living Translation. So it says, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. So right here it says that the Holy Spirit helps us to communicate effectively with God. Now, it's a little confusing for those of us who are Oneness Pentecostals, because, you know, we also believe that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're all one. And here he's talking about God literally helps us. Let me help you with that. God literally helps us speak to him in an effective way to get the most, the best results from that conversation, because he knows in our own mind, with our own intellect, we may not know what to say all the time. So let's put this in perspective. Sometimes we don't even know what to say to each other. You know, sometimes when we are communicating, especially when it comes to conflict resolution, or when we're having a conflict with someone, we'll just spout off the first things that comes to our mind, which sometimes, or a lot of times, makes that situation worse, right? We don't always know the best way to express our feelings so that we can get the outcome that we're really looking for. So we treat God like that as well. We don't always know the same thing. Sometimes we come to God and just say, please give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. And God's like, okay, where's the thank you? And then there's other times where we just go to God and we're very vague with the conversation. And God knows that we need something and we don't ask. And God's like, well, you could have asked for that and you didn't. Or where we need to be focused on others and not on ourselves that day, when we're talking to God. So it's like, you know, we're like, God, I'm going through this, I'm going through that, please help, please help, please help. And meanwhile, there's so many other things going on that need to be addressed, and we don't even think about those things. Well, if we incorporate the Holy Spirit in our conversation, if we invite him by asking him, you know, God, what should I pray for? What should I ask for? What should I plead for? What should I petition for? The Holy Spirit will bring someone to your mind or a situation to your mind or something that just needs to be addressed and will help you in communicating. For those of us who have received the Holy Spirit by evidence of speaking in tongues, sometimes you will pray in the Spirit by speaking in tongues. The Holy Spirit does help you. You just have to ask. There are times where I don't know what to say, or I may be like really, really tired and my mind drifts off as I'm praying. Don't act like I'm the only one that happens to out there. Sometimes your mind just goes off. You're like, man, what did I have for dinner? Oh man, I'm hungry. Oh my goodness, I need to do this, 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 and this. And then you have to bring yourself back into that conversation or be more alert or aware of what you're saying. I have to ask God to help me. Help me speak about the things that matter to you. So that when I leave, when I get up off my knees, that I said everything that needed to be said in that conversation and that I heard what I needed to hear in that conversation. Because there are times where we talk, we shout, we cry, we get up, we walk away, and God is like, oh, okay, I guess I don't get to speak here. What happened to that? Now imagine if you are with somebody and every time you see them or every time you have an interaction with them, they're the ones that are always talking. They're talking. You can never get a word in and then they walk away. Well, would you want to keep interacting with that person? Probably not. So we have to be mindful of those things when we're communicating with God. So God helps us in our communication. Now, God is always working every situation out. Let's go to verse 28. And it says, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him, and having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory." So let's go back to that first verse. It said God works everything out for our good. So it can be trouble now. It could be dark now. It could be painful. I have gone through some painful things in my life, and I have had friends and colleagues, brothers and sisters in Christ, and even my own personal family that have gone through some really, really painful situations. Personally, I've gone through miscarriage. I've gone through divorce. I've gone through abuse. I've gone through mental, you know, instability at some point in my life. I have gone through loss, death, you know, all of that stuff. And I can say today that through it all, God has worked it all out together for my good. I have learned lessons. I've come out better. And I am ready for the next challenge. I am ready for the next lesson because I've gone through that. I felt how painful it was. I saw how good God was in those situations. So now I can be prepared for anything else that comes my way. It all works together. It all works together, the good and the bad. It's just on us to be consistently faithful to God. There are times where all I can say in prayer, in praise, in worship, in anything was, "Great is the Lord." That is all I can say. Those four words, "Great is the Lord." I couldn't pray anything else because what I was going through was so hard, so tough. I really thought I was going to lose my mind. Like, I was like, man, this is God. I can't take it. And all I can say was, "Great is the Lord." And I would get up and I'll walk away and then I'll repeat it again. All right. So sometimes it gets tough, but it all works together. Next is God is defending us. Verse 31. "What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one, for God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one, for Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Listen, sis, God is defending you. He did not spare his own son when it came down to saving our souls. He will not spare anything for us. Nothing will separate you from the love of God. He made it so that he had to sacrifice so that we will be in right standing with him. No one else is going to do that for you. No one else is going to do it. Think about all the times you messed up in your life and people kind of just written you off and threw you to the side and was like, you're not going to be nothing. You're never going to amount to anything. Look at what you did with your life. Why don't you get it together? Now look at this. God, knowing beforehand that you're going to do these things, that you're going to mess up, that you're going to not always please him, still chose you, still sacrificed for you, still did all of that stuff. No one else is going to do it for you. God is defending you. And because he's done that, because he sacrificed, because he made it so that you're in right standing with him, what this is saying, what he is saying is that no one can condemn you now. No one can bring charges against you and come out successful with those charges on the other side. God is defending you, and he always wins. Okay. So that is what that's saying. So be confident. Be confident. No one can accuse you. The scripture said, who dares to accuse you? Doesn't make any sense. All those charges were dropped. All the mistakes were dropped. It's all done. Then, speaking of condemnation, it says God does not condemn us. Mistakes are expected and they are accounted for. Verse 35, can anyone ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scripture says, for your sake, we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loves us. Okay, so nothing that we do, all these situations that are named here, persecution, you're hungry, you're destitute, you're in danger. You could have put yourself in those situations and God will still come to your defense. Those situations, those mistakes, those calamities and persecutions and hunger and destitution and danger and all of that, God already took into account all of that. God already took into account and he's like, you know what? I'm not condemning you. It says, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours. It also means that you are going to come into trouble sometimes. There are going to be serious challenges. You are going to be tested. You may be persecuted even unto death. But at the end of that, even if it is not your fault, you're not the cause of it. At the end of that, you might be like, man, this is not fair. Why am I going through this? I should be living victorious through Christ every day, all day, happy, 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 all the time. That's not true. Living this life comes with challenges. Living this life comes with persecution. Living this life comes with loneliness and separation and all of that. There are some negative things that will happen, but it says overwhelming victory is ours through Christ. Why? Because he loves us. At the end of it all, he worked it out for our good. All right. So we're going to close out with this one here. It says, God will never let us go. We have to be the ones to walk away. We have to be the ones to walk away. Verse 38, and I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That is the most beautiful, encouraging, inspiring scripture, I feel, in the entire Bible. Nothing, not in the spiritual realm, nor in the physical realm, will separate us from the love of God. We got to be the ones to walk away. He will never walk away from us. We have to be the ones to ignore. He won't ignore us. We have to be the ones to abandon, to lose faith, to be disobedient. That's all on us. He will never do it. He will not leave us alone. He will not separate himself from us. Not even demons can separate him, can pull him away from us. If we allow them, they can pull us away from him. All right, you get that? But he will never be pulled away from us. He will never condemn us. So just in a quick review, this is my last episode on the truth about God for now. We might do another one. But it's God's help. God helps us in our communication with him. God is always working every situation out. God is defending us always. Okay. God does not condemn us. Mistakes are expected and accounted for. And God will never, ever let us go. We have to be the ones to walk away from him. Contemplate those things. Let that sink into your heart, into your soul, to encourage you. God bless you, and I'll see you in the next episode.